If you want to be turning, we're going to study Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Anthony Spriggs called me late last night and said that he was out of town and hadn't been able to get anybody. But I think I was his last resort. Makes me feel real good. But anyway, that's okay. He's out of town. I'm pretty sure he said Psalm 118, and it's the quote from that's on the bulletin in Psalm 118. I texted him back, and I said, it is Psalm 118, isn't it? And he didn't ever text it back, so I don't know. But that's what we're going to study tonight. The reason I had a question when I looked at Psalm 118 is that I know we're studying the Psalms of David, and it's not quite clear who wrote Psalm 118. But I'll tell you what, when you read Psalm 118, you can certainly give it to understand that David went through a lot of what Psalm 118 is. So whether it's for sure that it's David or not, in fact, some say it's after the Babylonian captivity, but we're just going to study it and think of David as we do it. And I'm going to, first of all, let's just read through it. Do you have Psalm 118? Give thanks, O Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. O let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. O let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. O let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. And the Lord is for me, I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is for me among those who help me, therefore I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surround me. Yes, they surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The song of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to thee, for thou hast answered me, and thou hast become my salvation. The stone, and this will be familiar to all of us because this is in Matthew, Mark, Luke. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day of the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I extol thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness, is everlasting. How this psalm starts is that, let me tell you this, the introduction to it first. Interesting things. These are some little interesting things about it. Psalm 118 is the middle chapter of the entire Bible. Now, don't get a whole lot of excitement about that in the sense that men put chapters there. They weren't all written in chapters. But it's interesting that we are looking at the center chapter of the Bible. Psalms 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And we're looking at Psalm 118. I've already said that. The Bible has 594 chapters before Psalm 18 and 594 chapters after Psalm 18. If you add all the chapters except Psalm 118, you have a total of 1,188 chapters. In other words, you end up with Psalms 118 and 8. There's a lot of little things about the middle, and it's in the middle verse of the entire Bible. So when you get to Psalm, and what does verse 8 say? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. So that's the center verse of the Bible. Should the central verse not have an important message? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. That's just, I'm not saying the Lord designed that, but isn't that interesting? It's interesting how our Bible is laid out and where this chapter falls in all the Bible. Now, the last verse of the Bible says, give thanks to the Lord, of 118 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. What does the first two verses say? Oh boy. I thought I was ordering online a little pointer. Look at that thing. Good night. That'll blast them right there. Oh man, if I put that in your eye, you better have your sunglasses on. I mean, I got the jumbo here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say his loving kindness is everlasting. Loving kindness means his favor and his mercy. Oh, let the house of Aaron say that his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say his loving kindness is everlasting. And the last verse says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. What do you think this chapter's about? Isn't that pretty easy to figure out what this chapter's about? That's what it's about. Thank the Lord because his mercy and his favor is everlasting. Israel, say it. Priest, say it. Let all the people of God say it. That's what those verses are saying. The nation, for let the Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the house of Aaron, the priest, say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Let all the people, those who fear the Lord, let them all say, the Lord, his loving kindness is everlasting. So what should we say? His loving kindness is everlasting. When you get a bad day, just remember the Lord is good. Just remember, no matter what has happened to you or what's going on, this is a God who saved you, who brought you from the depths of sin and certain destruction and has raised you up to be his child. And if you can be a person who's specially chosen by God to be his child, who created all things, what else do you expect? What more could you expect? There's nothing more to expect. Now, you might get more, you might not get more. You know, if I was in Aleppo today and I was a Christian, you know, I wouldn't be getting much more, would I? I'd just be trying to keep babies from getting killed with bombs. But I'll tell you, I can know the Lord in whatever circumstances I am. And when God has given His only Son, even in the dark hours, and we studied a little bit about that in the Psalms of how David got in some tight places, haven't we? He got where the king was after him, everybody was after him, and he made some terrible mistakes. And I think in the ending of what T-Bone was saying last night was David came to understand this. He gave thanks to the Lord for His mercy and favor and kindness is everlasting. So don't get the idea that God, oh, what's God got against me? God doesn't have anything against you. You might have an enemy trying to hurt you. Did that happen to David? You might have problems come in your life. Did that happen to Job? But what they need to learn is to be thankful to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. We have mercy and grace and faith from the Lord. From my distress, and that's one reason I'm pointing up there so I can see it. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. See, now this, if this is David, you could see him doing that. I'm not sure it was David, but anyway. Whoever it was in a stressful situation at one time in their life. I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. You know what the word distress means? I'm in a tight place. You know what the word large place means? I'm not in a tight place anymore. I think it's that simple. The Lord brought me out of a tight, terrible, stressful place. And the Lord has brought me to a large place where, whew, just, you know, it's like big old man like me been putting in one of those little MRI machines, you know, and that thing go pow, 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 pow. And it just feels so good when they let me out of that thing. And all of a sudden, whew, that just, you know, sometimes they say, they make you listen to music and they put a something over your eyes so you can't see it and all these other things. But anyway, that's a tight place for some of us. And there's a large place when they take you out of it. Well, life is full of tight places. But what is the Lord full of? Huh? Loving kindness, mercy and favor. He will get you out of that place. Therefore, if the Lord is for me, what should I do? Isn't that a verse? What is it? What can man do to me? Now, do you understand why Paul said some of the things he said? Man, he's in prison writing some letters telling people, to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I mean, the book that's full of joy in the writing of the epistles more than any is Philippians, and let me tell you, those prisons were not air conditioned. They didn't have toilets, and I mean, it was bad stuff. I've been at some of those places where I've been to the old forum in Rome where Paul was probably at one time in his prison there. I wouldn't want to walk in there. Now, sometime he had a private quarters that they let him have. But no matter where he was, what did Paul not forget? Please tell me you know what this chapter's about. Please tell me. He was thankful to God because the loving kindness of the Lord is everlasting. Don't ever think in your hardest hour, where is God? Don't ever think in your hardest hour that what God's all about is making sure that everything physically is great in this world, because sin has made things very bad in this world. But always know that if you're His child, you don't have to fear what man can do to you, because the Lord's going to take care of you. The Lord is for me among those who help me. He says, were people, if this was David, were people helping David as he was going through? You know, you read about his life when he's on the run even. There were some people helping him at times. And the Lord was for me among those who help me. What should Christians be all about? Helping others. And helping each other. That's what we ought to be all about, is helping each other. I do not know one word of Scripture if people say brethren are against each other and doing all this mess. I don't know anything that supports that. I know no way. That is so foreign to what the New Testament is. To believe it is a lie. And we need to understand that. If somebody's going through a hard time, but they're serving the Lord, and I'm with them, the Lord's for them and me. Isn't that what He's saying? Is that what He's saying? The Lord is for me among those who help me, that walk by my side. Therefore, I shall look with satisfaction. He's looking forward to victory. You know that word, satisfaction. How can he look in this distress, look with satisfaction? I'm going to win. The Lord will deliver me because I'm thankful that the Lord is full of that is everlasting. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It is better to take refuge with the Lord than to trust in men. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Who do you need to trust in? Boy, when we get in our fixes sometime, what we're trying to do is find all the men we know to help us. Well, it's not wrong to get helpers. Didn't the writer just say, the Lord is for me among those who help me? So it's good to get people to help you. That's not a bad thing. But who is the deliverer? Do you believe the Lord's going to deliver you? You just got to know that the Lord's going to bring you out where you need to be. And you don't need to force that. You need to do what you need to do. You need to get people to help you. But you need to know the victory's in the hands of the Lord. And I think that's what David and the psalmist, all of them understood. The victory's in the Lord. We can do all this other stuff. And as T-Bone was talking about last week, David did a whole lot of those things. And when he took his own power and self too seriously, what happened to David? He went to the bottom of the stack. He did terrible. I've never met a man that I've been close with in my life, never, that did as terrible as David did. You might have. I've never known a close friend that did those kinds of sins. I've never known anybody in Christ, they might have done some of those, but now never one that knew all did all of them. But I'm not saying they're not some, and I'm not saying you don't know some. But that man can come back and trust the Lord. And he can be helped by people to once again say, I'm thankful to the Lord because his loving kindness is forever. He's looking forward I shall look with satisfaction on them who hate me. Poor guy, God's going to take care of you. That's the only satisfaction I know. I mean, you know, just like, God's going to deliver me. You're going to be fighting against God. Just, my brother was 4 years older than me. Somebody pick on me. I wasn't worried about it. I didn't have pity on him because I was going to have to fight him because I wasn't the best of fighters. But my brother was. And I pitied him. You know, I'd pity somebody. Boy, I'd hate to face my brother. You know, somebody hitting me, I say, boy, I'd hate to face my brother. But that's true. Well, God's going to deliver us. Imagine, pity the people who are fighting against God. Because God will deliver. There's a lot of mess going on today in this world, but God will deliver. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surround me like bees. They were extinguished in the fire thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. What is that paragraph saying? Who's going to do it? If this were David, was he a mighty fighter? Could you see it, take it upon himself, saying, look what I can do? But he didn't. This writer was delivered, whoever it was. But was he saying, look what I've accomplished against my enemies? One of the great things about the Psalms, they just keep throwing you to the loving kindness of God. When people have been through terrible things and struggles, but they've come back to faith and stayed with the Lord, who is the deliverer? Who's going to be your deliverer? Who's going to be your deliverer? You got a problem today. Who's going to be your deliverer? Who? Hey, I've been coaching football today. Who's going to be your deliverer? The Lord. I think we sort of need to shout it because we forget. We forget it's the Lord. We got to figure it out. We got to work it out. Now, that doesn't mean, I believe who this is talking about was taking responsibility. Irresponsibility isn't something God wants. But it's when we feel like it's going to end up being our accomplishment, we're robbing the Father who's taking care of us. The victory is of the Lord. I just love it. When you look at it here, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, the Lord is my helper. He's my strength. He's become my salvation. All these people around me, they're trying to cut me off. They surround me. They're like a bunch of bees running around me. They're stinging me to death. They violently, you pushed me violently so I was falling. I mean, that's a lot of, if people are pushing you violently, rushing after you, a swarm of bees around you, how comfortable does that feel when you see all that together? Man, this talking about hot times, hard times. You're in the hot zone here. Who will be your deliverer? The Lord. The Lord will be your deliverer. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tent of whom? All right, here's who the Lord's going to help. Don't you like this? The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. See how he just keeps repeating this stuff? The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Loving kindness, loving kindness, loving kindness. What does right hand mean? The strength of the Lord. My God is so strong, so mighty. We sing that to our children, don't we? Our children sing it to us. We want them to believe it. How can they believe it if we don't believe it? Well, they could. I mean, there have been people that rise up to do something, but it's going to be difficult for them if they can't see that in our lives. I just love it. This. See, this is just a play on words. I started to say, you know, the Lord isn't left-handed. He's right-handed, and it's powerful. But what most men are right-handed, that's the strength. That's the strong arm. Well, the Lord is the strong arm that's going to deliver you. Yes.
I think that also is talking about Jesus being on the right hand of God.
Could be. And I hadn't thought about that. You could look at that and talk about Jesus being on the right hand of God. You know, I hadn't even thought about it. Right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. That's certainly true about Jesus, you know. We know that will be his thing. I just hadn't thought of that, to think about that. I shall not die, but live, and tell the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. That's the reason I thought, well, maybe this is David. You know, there's things about it I say, don't David. But that, doesn't that sound like David if it's not David? I'm not going to die. You know, like T-Bone brought us to, T-Bone's name is Thomas for our visitors. But anyway, he got T-boned in a wreck and picked up a nickname. But anyway, Thomas McGowan said that David was such a terrible spot, and how awful a situation he was in because of the sin he's done, but the Lord delivered him, and he brought us through that. Talking about that last week. Well, we really studied a lot about his sin last week. That he was delivered from. I shall not die. I'm going to live. You know, Psalm says, I shall not die. I'm going to live. Did David deserve to die? 1,000 times over. If I'd have been there, I'd have probably said, this man does not need to live. Kill him now. I mean, I hate to say that because he's a man after God's own heart, but that's how I would have felt after what he did. He was punished. If you know what your family is to fall apart sometimes, boy, his fell apart terribly. And he was punished in many ways. But he shall live, I will not die, and I'm going to tell people about it. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. I think we need, as we talk about how exciting this psalm is, that the loving kindness of the Lord is forever, that the Lord is with us, the Lord is with us, his right hand is there, his right hand is there. I will look with satisfaction on those that hate me, because they're going to have to face the Lord's punishment. The Lord is disciplining, but he never gave up on me. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I just assume, and again, I'm going to tell you, I didn't have all week study on this, but the truth is, I don't know if I'd have studied it on it all week, but I'm just going to use that excuse anyway. Things I don't know, just say, well, he just didn't study enough. But it seems to me that I shall enter through these gates. I can go worship God now because I'm righteous. God's delivered me. And if this is David, imagine being able to go worship God again. You remember the psalm that says, we talked about restoring to me the joy of my salvation. That's what he wanted. I open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter in through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to thee, and thou hast answered me. Thou hast become my salvation. What gates are there? It's the gates to come before the Lord, I believe. Of course, if this is David, this isn't the temple. So I've got questions about that, and I did not have time to research that enough. And to tell you the truth, I never would. If I don't think it's David, I would never know who wrote it anyway. But I read enough to know that people just say they don't know who wrote it. But we're just trying to blend this into the kind of situation that we saw with David. If you're going to be coming to worship God, what do you need to come to the gates? Who needs to come to the gates to worship God? The righteous. If you have sin, what should you do? You need to get right before you act like you're on God's side. Now that doesn't mean that I'm not trying to say this now, because I learned as a very young man, preaching in a place, and this man I got close to, whose wife was a member, I was preaching one time, and I'd studied with him. And so I got up and I said, you know what? If people are just going to come to church and they're not going to do the Lord's will, well, it's not doing them much good, you know. They might as well just be at home if you're not going to obey the Lord. Guess what? He decided he'd never come back because I said that. And I regretted saying that for the rest of my days. You know, don't ever tell anybody you're better not off not to come. That's not the way to help the unbelievers. That's just not way. Just welcome them and hope they get something and they'll pick things up. Now, I didn't mean for him to do that. I meant for it to cause him to do something else. And he remained a great friend. I think it gave him a way out, to tell you the truth. But I still regretted it, saying it. But we don't need to fool. See, I can't judge your heart. You can't judge my heart. We really don't know who's with the Lord tonight. We know people who've believed and been baptized and are doing things outwardly. But I'm going to tell you, I've been fooled. That same church, my best friend, one of my best friends, evangelism, his wife, home study, out doing everything you could imagine, close to them as you could imagine. And he had been carrying on an affair with his sister-in-law for 5 years. I found out early, you don't know what all's going on in the heart of men. And he ran from me. I could not get close to him because he had lived a lie so long, the callus grew on him. But I knew, I mean, if somebody said, well, if you're going to leave, I'd say, well, have Phil preach. Well, who you need to lead singing? Well, have Phil lead singing, or who you need to lead a prayer. Well, have Phil to lead a prayer. In fact, Phil ought to be preaching. That's how I felt. No, I don't know your heart, and you don't know mine. We can only judge by the fruit that we see. That's all we can judge by our words, by our actions, and what we're doing. God asks us to judge no deeper than that. That's as far as we can go. But God sees the inner heart. And David could come to the house of God. I have seen people like this. I made such a terrible mistake in my life, I could never come back to church. You know, I could never come back to the house of God again or to worship with Christians again. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think that. If David could say, I can come into the house of righteousness to praise God again because He has become my salvation. That's what we can all do if we'll just turn from our sins. And I'm guaranteeing you this too. There's not a one of us here that hadn't gone through to some point in our life deceiving our own selves in our sin. Acted like everything's okay when it wasn't. So all of us know a little bit about acting. I hope we're not doing any of that now. But all you got to do is just You know, David went, how long did that go on with David? No, 9 months, but how long did it go on with him? Do you have any idea? Nathan said, thou art the man, and boom, he made a decision. I always tell people, they say, I just can't decide. It's just a decision. You just can decide that's where your heart is and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's all. That's how long it takes to become a Christian or come back to the Lord. You might have a lot of mess to clean up. As you say, David never got all the mess that this caused cleaned up in his life. But that's all it is, a decision. And when a person makes that decision, what should the people of God do? I wonder if we would have let David be king again. If he had been an elder, would we have let him ever be an elder again? I can flat tell you no. We would not. Could be some reasons for doing that. I'm not saying that. Yes. And if a person were to say, well, you know, I just don't feel like I could go before people and confess my sin. Well, you know what? You just don't feel bad enough about it yet. You know, God already knows. And if it's something that needs to be straightened out. Now, if it's something that I just, Wiki and I have had words that were wrong, we need to confess our sins to each other and pray to God. I mean, that doesn't get outside of there. And we've had to do that. I mean, it's not like that's nothing Wiki and I hadn't had to do. But that's private things but you're still trying. The whole time we were striving to serve the Lord, but you just get off base sometime. And you're not saying and doing the things you ought to say. Yes, Sandra. Wasn't in the right place.
Because I could not forgive at all. And you know, and sometimes you can't come to the front because of who you may bring that's not ready to come.
Yeah.
But I do want to say that the brethren have been there for me. And in my confession, as Sister Peggy was saying, you know, other families were able to come to me. And we share in comfort, and God has used that for good about what we were doing.
And be thankful to the Lord. Because his loving kindness is everlasting. If he doesn't give up on David, don't you think he's going to put up with me? I'm not saying I'm the best guy, but I tell you, I ain't done those things David did. There's a couple in there that I hadn't even thought about doing.
Satan has
He has power to get us not to. I think Satan had the power over David. David needed his salvation restored. That's why he prayed for it, because he needed it restored. And I think it was pride. But when he heard that story that we talked about last week, his heart was crushed. How many of you want your children to be able to talk to you about everything? What if they're struggling and not believing what you're saying? Do you want them to talk to you? If they're having a bad problem, you want them to talk to you. That's what family does. I don't know if I've been in a church where that was fully visible or not. Because many times we're afraid to, because all of a sudden people won't have confidence in us because I've had a trouble, and that makes me look weak. And I want to tell you, that's the devil's work. Yes, yeah.
Maybe you probably heard this analogy, but thinking about just changing our attitude
Yes.
Mentality as opposed to one that's just housing all these righteous people and we're
yes.
all good, and unless you're good, you can't get in. And think about it completely opposite, that we're all sick. And if you're sick, hey, we want you in your
team. It's a hospital. No.
It's not saying that, but we need to be welcoming to those who need help.
But to a Christian, John wrote, if any man says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. That wasn't written to unbelievers. That was written to Christians who were being accosted by the Gnostics saying that it was all right to sin because that was flesh, you know, and spirit, you know, you could go do what you wanted to. They were going back to the terrible things, but John was telling them that's wrong. But he says, but now if any of you think you say you haven't sinned, you're a liar. So we're all dealing with these things. We're just afraid to say it. You know, and I think I shouldn't just go out and tell. I should, you know, there's certain struggles we all have, but there's a lot of time we need help and we need to be willing to go get it. Yes. We put them different.
We do. And,
yeah.
And God doesn't do that.
And there are sins that have greater consequences than others. And that's true no matter whether you classify them or not. I mean, you know, somebody's a murderer, they're going to have greater consequences than if somebody lied to somebody. You know, one's. Yeah, a liar is a murderer. Yeah, that's right. Good thought. Oh, here we are. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our light eyes. That's what the Lord said in Luke 20. It's in Matthew and Mark. I just put Luke's. That's what it says in Acts 4 and 11. That's what it says in 2. Somebody get Ephesians 2:20, and somebody get 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 7. Who's got Ephesians 2:20? Go ahead, Matt, over here. Sorry. Okay, so we know this. The one rejected in the Gospels, they become the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone is what you build everything off. Now, the thing I want to warn you about Ephesians 2:20, it's not saying it's built on the apostles and prophets. It's built on what they're preaching, and that is Christ. So the foundation is Christ, and the cornerstone is Christ. That's what you build on. Who's got 1 Peter 2, 4, and 7? Okay, Carrie Ann. This passage here also makes me think maybe David wrote this psalm. Because, you know, David was the one rejected when they wanted the sons of Jesse. He was the last one. No, reject him. No. And then he was rejected as king. You know, he was rejected and put out as king. But yet he came to be the king of Israel on whose throne the Messiah will sit. I mean, when you look at David from being not the elder son, not the one, the shepherd, and you look at all of his life and how he was rejected by Saul. Saul kicked him out. You can't be the next king. But he became the next king, and he established a throne that Christ would sit upon. So it seems to me that could have that implication to David here. That's what happened to him. But the real purpose of this is about Christ Jesus, the parallel there. Well, the real purpose about David being on a throne was that Christ would sit on his throne. Boy, that this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save. We beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee. Do send prosperity. You know, that's a... Victor told me that his coach used to say that when they'd be out there in Texas in the hot fields and be 105 degrees. That's what the coach would come out and say. This is the Lord. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you know, I do that with my kids too some when it's a hot day. Picked up from that. But this is talking about what we've been talking about. Somebody who's been, enemies have been after them, and they've given him a hard time. He's been caught in a tight place, and he's just rejoicing over the Lord delivering, and the Lord delivering, and the salvation. And then this builder that was rejected becoming the chief corner of the stone, the Lord is doing all this to bring the Christ into this world. And he put this in the New Testament, quoted it so many times. Now, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It means a lot more than just a created day on a football field in Texas or North Carolina. It means this is what the Lord is doing. And it is marvelous. O Lord, do save. We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Do send prosperity. Bless us, Lord. We're your people, and the Lord will prosper. We can depend upon that. You know, when I just studied this whole psalm this morning, I thought, man, it just puts a lot more seriousness to this phrase that I've been... But that's okay. It's okay to say this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. But boy, this is talking about a person who's been delivered and the Lord being the strong arm and being the salvation. And just giving of thanksgiving because the loving kindness, the mercy and grace and favor of God is everlasting, and he just keeps delivering us. There is victory. There is deliverance for God's people. Don't ever forget that. And who gives it? And it is in Christ who sits on that throne, the throne of David. Send prosperity, victory against impossible odds. Day of worship and prayer for the Lord to prosper his people. That's what this is saying. This is saying, this is a day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Let me get my powerhouse mag here. Against impossible odds. God has delivered me this day, and I'm worshiping and praying and asking God to prosper us. Isn't that wonderful? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind our festival sacrifice. We'll come to worship thee with cords and the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I extol thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The priests speak, verse 26, proclaiming the blessing of God upon those who entered through the gates. The psalmist has expressed his gratitude to God once again. Thank you.